And good evening, my friends. It is a Wednesday night, 20th day of July, 2022. Jeff Bennett here. To health with you. That's what we do on Wednesdays. And tonight, we're going to be sharing the fourth and final chapter of this amazing transcript by Nicholas Gonzalez, who was speaking before the World Research Foundation some years ago. And as I've mentioned, these records were recently discovered by Dr. Gonzalez's widow. They've been made available to the public. And tonight we're going to conclude the final part of this lecture. The transcript of this program, possibly with additional commentary, will be available through our website, drkelly.net. And of course, you can also pick up the archives on RBN. You know how to do it, right? What we've been talking about for these last three Wednesdays, in many respects, is dietary related. How Kelly came to study and finally understand all of these things. The work going back to John Beard and so many others, Max Gerson. But there's one thing that's a key element in all of this. Calcium. Calcium, you see, has live applications for anybody practicing any kind of oncology. Now, although Gonzalez's protocol was nutritional and the Kelly program was nutritional, it applied to chemotherapy or immunotherapy or any of the therapies. But let's think about calcium for a bit. Got a lot of functions. We know it's the main cement for the bones, but it's also a very metabolically active, almost acts like a hormone in the body. It's what's called a second messenger in our cells. It's one way the neurotransmitters transmit the information into the nucleus. Now, some of this is going to kind of go over your head, but just wait. It all comes together. Calcium functions as a carrier of information and as a stimulator of information systems in the cell. And calcium is also primarily and fundamentally the main cement of cellular membranes. And this has often been overlooked because we tend to think about protein and fats in cell membranes and not think too much about calcium. But you see, calcium really holds the cell membranes together. And this has been well documented. Now, when the sympathetic nervous system is very strong and active in producing lots of adrenaline, which is one of its main hormones, some membranes seem to get very tight. And if you inject adrenaline into somebody, the muscles tend to get tense with a twitching in the mouth, in their jaws, and the jaws will tense up. Cell membranes tighten virtually every tissue in our body. But what happens is with sympathetic discharge, calcium goes into the cell membranes and tightens up those membranes. Now, in an alkaline environment, when the sympathetic nervous system is turned off, membranes get very weak. The calcium leaches out. Membranes leak all kinds of junk. And Kelly tried to relate this to cancer. And he began to realize that with hard tumor patients, the main problem is the sympathetic system was too strong. The membranes were too tight. And when the membranes of the tumors were too tight, his patient's own immune system and the patient's own pancreatic enzymes could not get at the tumor. Now, on his raw foods diet, with all of his juices and extra pancreatic enzymes, nutrition would turn a little more alkaline, and the sympathetic nervous system would weaken. And calcium would leach out of the membranes, and the membranes would get leaky and whammo. The enzymes could get to that tumor very easily. And the patient's own immune system could get at that tumor very easily. And chemotherapy could get at that tumor very easily. But chemotherapeutic drugs could get at that tumor so easily. One of the most interesting things that you can find in oncology is that you can have two patients with tumors in the exact same place. Colon tumor, metastatic to the liver. One will respond beautifully with total resolution of the tumor, and the other won't respond at all. It's called pH autonomic balance, if you believe Kelly's hypotheses. And Nicholas Gonzalez had come to believe in it. Now, understand that one patient may have a very strong sympathetic system, and you give them chemotherapeutic agents, and those cell membranes are so tight that nothing is going to get in. Enzymes won't get into the tumors. Chemo won't get into the tumors. Immune system products won't get into the tumors. And those patients die, and the tumors grow. If you alkalinize the body, if you loosen those cell membranes and chemotherapeutic agents, immune system products, pancreatic enzymes can attack those tumors and dissolve them very, very quickly. And with parasympathetic tumors, the tumors of the blood, and leukemia, and lymphoma, myeloma, melanoma, well, now we're dealing with exactly the opposite situation. Gonzalez discovered in the years of his own research that those patients tended to be too alkaline, and their cell membranes tended to be too leaky. And now when cell membranes are too leaky and too alkaline, this tended to stimulate cellular reproduction, which was one of the observations that Gonzalez continued to work on trying to figure out throughout genetic evaluations. But when they're too alkaline, the parasympathetic system is too strong, the cell membranes are too leaky, things happen very quickly. And cells in every tissue in the body tend to reproduce very, very quickly. And the problem with these tumors is that they reproduce so quickly that whatever therapeutic agents you're using, you're running a race as to whether you can break them down faster than they are reproducing. Now, when you use a red meat diet, remember we talked about the red meat diet last week with Kelly's second wife, Susie. So when we talk about the red meat diet and the other nutrients which stimulate sympathetic function and tone down parasympathetic function, you get the patients more acid and the sympathetic system turns on and the cell membranes get a little tighter. Cell reproduction slows. Reproduction of the tumors tends to slow down, which allows for and gives you time. That gives you some leeway, interestingly enough. Acute lymphocytic leukemia, where the tumors that tend to occur in parasympathetic dominance in the meat eaters, these are alkaline people. They tend to be very aggressive tumors. Gonzalez would see in his own training people whose white blood count would go from 2,000 to 1,000,000 in a period of weeks. He saw patients diagnosed with acute lymphocytic die within acute lymphocytic die within 2 weeks of their diagnosis. Very aggressive tumors. They grow very, very fast. And the reason is leaky cell membranes, alkaline environment, parasympathetic dominance. A two-week sympathetic system stimulates cellular growth. You push those people acid, you slow down the growth. You give them a therapeutic agent, whether chemotherapy, immunotherapy, or an enzyme therapy. You've got to give them time to work. So when you're treating a cancer patient, you must think about autonomic physiology, whether you're using nutrition or chemotherapy. Now, it's very interesting to treat patients with diet, see the mistakes that you make. We're talking to the doctor here. Gonzalez chose to talk about one or two of his own mistakes, because you do, whether it's in medicine or any other profession that you may happen to be in or were in. You learn from your mistakes. You don't learn from your failures. Gonzalez said he'd like to stand up and say, I don't have any mistakes, but boy, do I have some mistakes. He talked to us about a patient who we referred to as Pat McGrady, a wonderful friend who apparently was out in the audience the night that Nick gave this lecture. He referred a patient with lung cancer, a psychology professor from the Midwest. Lung cancer. I love lung cancer. It's a challenge. I like challenge. I like to get people well so I can laugh at the orthodox people. So Gonzalez continues by saying he put this patient on a vegetarian diet. She had a hard tumor. Put her on the supplements, large doses of pancreatic enzymes, coffee enemas. Initially, there was no response. The tumor did not grow, but it didn't shrink. Well, Gonzalez was kind of a smart guy. I mean, he had studied Kelly's stuff for 10 years. So he knew what the problem was, but this woman was not alkaline enough. And the sympathetic system was too strong. Calcium was staying in the cell membranes. The membranes were too tight. And the enzymes that he was feeding her by the pound were not getting to the tumor. The membranes were too tight. So Gonzalez increased magnesium and potassium, which are the ultimate alkalines of the body. They depress sympathetic flow, increase parasympathetic flow, and it worked wonderfully. And the tumor began to dissolve, and the tumor markers were going down. And Gonzalez was very proud of himself until one day, a Saturday morning, the patient called him hysterically, saying that she had developed terrible fluid effusions. She had edema in her leg. Her belly had bloated up. It sounded like she was about to die. Gonzalez was pretty upset with himself. Couldn't believe this was happening. And he thought for 3 days and didn't sleep much. And he realized what he had done. He'd pushed her alkaline, turned off the sympathetic system and turned on the parasympathetic system. And so calcium was leaking out of the membranes. He'd pushed her so alkaline that her tumors were exploding and every cell in her body was leaking fluid because the membranes were so leaky. And when he realized what he'd done, he called her up and put her on large doses of calcium, gave her certain supplements that are used to acidify the body. And within 3 days, the membranes were tighter than they were. The tumors stopped growing. All the fluids began to absorb. And Gonzalez finally had that patient exactly where he wanted her. Slightly alkaline, slightly leaky, membrane slightly leaky, but not too much. And so when you realize how important or how easy it is to manipulate the body using Kelly's theory, you begin to appreciate the importance of nutrition. As Gonzalez has said, it doesn't matter which therapy you use, whether you use chemotherapy, immunotherapy, or enzyme therapy. If you know how to manipulate the body with dietary products, you can get your patient exactly where you want to get them. Exactly where you want to get them. And you can get the therapeutic outcome that you are looking for. And yet, Nick said, now all this theory is wonderful, but people always ask, what's your success rate? How great is it? Nick spent 5 years going through about 10,000 of Kelly's records. Nick put together an amazing book entitled One Man Alone. 500-page manuscript, and he could not get it published. And people told Gonzalez that there were two reasons why he could not get it published. One reason is the results are too good. The other reason was that the results were too bad. So he didn't know. He supposed the truth is somewhere in between. One doctor told Gonzalez that there is no way these results could be that good. After going through 10,000 of Kelly's records, he found that patients who were complying on the program and doing the program properly, which of course they have to do, about 70% of them get well. Doesn't matter what kind of cancer, how advanced it was. course, Nick said this was a retrospective study. Evaluations of Kelly's patients treated in the past under non-controlled circumstances. So it didn't really prove anything by the orthodox standards of proving things. He didn't know whether the orthodox standards of proving things were valid or not, but it certainly did not meet the criterion. And Gonzalez is the first to admit that. But in one particular study, and he chose to mention it here because he always mentions it in his lectures, was Kelly's study of pancreatic cases, because it was quite impressive. Keeping in mind, Kelly began with pancreas issues of his own. So Dr. Robert Good, the man that Gonzalez was working under, one of the most eminent immunologists of our time, and under who Gonzalez did his immunology fellowship, suggested that we needed a numerator, denominator study to make sense out of Kelly's success rate. What did he mean by that? I mean, it's okay to find occasional patients who get well, but how many get well? And to do that, you've got to track down all the patients treated with the therapy and find out what their outcome was. And so they decided to concentrate on one kind of cancer, pancreatic cancer. And why pancreatic? Because pancreatic cancer is the worst cancer known to mankind. It has a mean survival of about 4 to 6 months. No one has cured this disease in orthodox medicine. And they chose pancreatic cancer because if any patients were alive 5 or 10 years later, no one could argue that this was the normal history of the disease. It couldn't be the normal, natural history of the disease, because nobody with pancreatic cancer, except rarely those few patients who were treated early with surgery, get cured, virtually. Back at the time that Gonzalez gave this lecture, the 2-year survival rate was about 5%. A 5-year survival rate was less than 1%. And so Gonzalez knew that if he could find a bunch of pancreatic cancer patients properly diagnosed, treated by Kelly nutritionally, alive 5 to 10 years later, that would be a significant finding. And arbitrarily, he decided to track down every patient treated by Kelly between the years of 1974 and 82. He found 23 of them. And those are patients who may or may not have gone into therapy, who may or may not have taken a single pill. But he found and did extensive interviews with family members and doctors who'd made the diagnosis, that a first group of 10 of these patients turned to Kelly once, decided he was a quack. Never did the program. Median survival rate was 6 days after seeing Kelly, which is pretty standard for pancreatic cancer. 2 months was the mean for survival. 2 months. I have a quotation that I published some years ago on Dr. Kelly's website, drkelly.net. And I came across this in a letter back in the year 2015. Excuse me just a second. I'm getting a rough throat here. Back in 2015, when I was at the request of the family, Kelly estate, when I was working on the revamping of the book that is now called Victory Over Cancer. It is a somewhat updated or expanded version of Kelly's original book, One Answer to Cancer. And I had put out an offer on the air that I would take advance orders for the book. I put a price out there. I don't remember what it was. I would accept payment only by check, no credit card, no PayPal, nothing. But with the promise to our people ordering the book that their checks would not be cashed until the day that the book went to the publisher for printing. That was probably a 6 or 7 month project. And in one of those checks, there was a note by a woman named Linda H., who says, I had the privilege of going to Dr. Kelly in 1975 in Grapevine, Texas for the treatment. And here I am in 2015 at the age of 69. He was a wonderful, caring man, and I credit him with the long life I've had. I'm so blessed to have found him in his wisdom, and I will always be grateful. Let's continue with Gonzalez. Nick tells us there was a second group of about seven patients who went on the program partially and eventually gave up, largely because of the physician pressure that Kelly was a quack. You know, their doctors said, oh, Kelly's a nutcase. But even those patients who did the program partially had a higher mean of survival, about 300 days, which is significant and significantly higher than the usual median for pancreatic cancer. So the third group of six patients did the program completely and totally, and the mean of survival was 8.5 years. At the time that Nick gave this lecture, most of those patients were still alive, although one had died of Alzheimer's. And as Gonzalez always says at every lecture, if you have your pancreatic cancer patients dying of old age and Alzheimer's, you've succeeded as a physician. So mean survival, 8.5 years and growing. Pretty wonderful. That's Kelly's success rate at that time. In that particular series of patients, every patient who followed the program did well. Yes, it's a small group. It's only six, but science always begins with observations, anecdotal observations, small group of patients. They don't begin with double-blind clinical trials. They begin with simple observations, and it was a simple observation. Maybe it did not prove Kelly was a genius, but his program worked. But sometimes if you have enough scar tissue from previous operations, you can't get the therapeutic agents to the site of the tumors, and the tumors will grow. Gonzalez had that happen in patients who'd had three or four operations. So the question we ask is, why don't people get well? And the third reason why Kelly said people don't get well, and this one is hard for a lot of people to accept, and in Gonzalez's case, because he was trained as an orthodox immunologist and believed that everything would reduce to science. But Kelly always said that the main reason patients don't get well is a lack of faith. Gonzalez said, I'm not going to go into the big thing on that, but patients who really don't believe what they're doing, whatever that therapy is, they're not going to get well. Let Bernie Siegel, Norman Cousins talk about that. What Kelly did and what Gonzalez and others tried to do is figure out what the physiological correlation to faith means. Believe me, Gonzalez says, I've seen patients in my office who had no faith in what I do. And most of the patients who came to me figured that if I was any good, I'd be the head of Sloan Kettering. If I was any good, I wouldn't be doing this crazy nutrition. Believe me, Gonzalez said, most patients who come into my office are not happy about coffee enemas or carrot juice or vegetarian diets or even eating meat. They think the whole thing is crazy. They come because they're scared. Because everything else has failed, because maybe Nick Gonzalez was their last hope. They're not there because they want to be. A lot of patients come in without faith. Some of them get it as they do better. Some of them never get it. And even if they do the program perfectly, if they have no faith in what they do, then they die. Nick says, I've never seen a patient who has absolutely no faith in the program, even if they do it completely, who lives. So an interesting problem. Now, why should that be? Because if you don't have faith, it creates anxiety. Lack of faith equals anxiety. When you have anxiety, what happens? When you have anxiety, you turn on the sympathetic nervous system. When you have no faith that things are going to go well, then you have to live in a state of vigilance. And when we live in a state of vigilance, the sympathetic nervous system fires constantly. And when the sympathetic nervous system fires constantly, you get way too acidic. And cell membranes get way too tight. and nutrients and enzymes cannot get to the site of the tumor, and the lack of faith in physiological channels leads to death. Period. And it happens all the time. And now, interestingly enough, he continues, with the soft tumor patients, the patients who have the leukemia and the lymphomas and the myelomas and the melanomas, sometimes lack of faith is a good thing. Let me share with you what Dr. Gonzalez meant by that. In 1982, Kelly was working on a leukemia patient, and Gonzalez happened to be in Kelly's office. It was a 6-year-old girl treated at Stanford University, had acute lymphatic leukemia, failed chemotherapy. Now, acute lymphocytic leukemia is the pride and joy of orthodox oncology because it's one of the very few cancers that can be treated successfully with chemotherapy. But this young lady, age 6, was not doing well at all. And she and her mother decided to come see this quack, Dennis Kelly, and start his program. But she wasn't doing well with Kelly either. And I said, Kelly, what's going on? And Kelly said, okay, Gonzalez, I'm going to teach you about medicine. So I got on the phone, Gonzalez said. The girl's mother was on the phone, a very sweet woman, kind of Northern California, into meditation. Started to talk about what she was doing with her daughter. And she said, I take my daughter down to the beach. And I have her think positive thoughts. And I have her draw white cells on the sand and think about them attacking the tumor. And I've read all the mediation and the raw food diet books. And then Kelly interrupted and said, this is the first time I've ever heard him get angry. Kelly said, you take those books and you throw them in the garbage. This is what he's telling the mother of this 6-year-old girl. You take those books and throw them in the garbage and you go out to the 7-Eleven or the local Kmart and buy that girl electronic games and have her start watching 6 hours a day of violent cartoon shows on television. She's Gonzalez thinking, oh my God, this is a joke. And he started to get off the phone. Gonzalez thought Kelly was having a nervous breakdown right in front of him, but he wasn't kidding. Because the one thing that you learned about Kelly, and believe me, my friends, I was on the receiving end of it as well. When you got a tongue lashing from Kelly, you listened. You listened carefully. You don't ask why until later. But now Kelly had this woman in tears, the mother in tears. He said, no meditation. No white cells drawn on the sand. No thinking positive thoughts. He said, I want your daughter to get so mean and nasty that instead of loving her brother, she kicks him in the shins. Now Kelly gets off the phone and Gonzalez looked at him and said, Kelly, what the hell are you doing? You're crazy. Kelly said, I'm not crazy. I'm trying to save that little girl's life. Would you rather have her die? And Gonzalez responded by saying, well, what are you doing? She's a leukemia patient. She's too alkaline. Her sympathetic system is too weak. She's already in this very alkaline state. And meditation and relaxation and positive thinking pushes her more alkaline. It turns off the sympathetic system. The whole point in biofeedback, this is Gonzalez continuing to talk and tell this to Kelly. The whole point in biofeedback and meditation is to tone down sympathetic function. And there are dozens of studies in orthodox literature documenting that. That's wonderful if you have a strong sympathetic system, but if your sympathetic system is too weak and you tone it down, you could die. Well, that was not Gonzalez talking. That was Kelly continuing to chew Gonzalez out after he said, well, what are you doing? That girl was dying because her sympathetic system was too weak. And the parasympathetic system was too strong. And her mother was putting her on all these different things that she had learned about, which was further weakening her sympathetic system. And the cell membranes were getting leakier and leakier. And the cells were reproducing faster and faster. So even if Kelly couldn't get her well. Well, that mother had enough sense to listen to Dr. Kelly. She went out and bought the electronic games, even though it was against everything she believed in. She had her daughter watch aggressive cartoons 6 hours a day. And within 2 weeks, her white count stopped increasing. And within 4 weeks, it began to drop. And when Gonzalez saw that, and he wouldn't believe it if you told me that story, I don't expect you to believe it, he tells the audience. But it shows you how complicated cancer therapy can be. And how easy it can be, how easily it can be explained if you start thinking about nutrition. Now, in reality, I brought you up to a point where Nick Gonzalez's lecture was concluded at that point in time. I mean, I could have titled it The End. But it's never the end. As long as I live, as long as the 7 years that I worked with Kelly, and it wasn't always nice, I continue to learn, and I still continue to read and reread his stuff, and sharing this basically last 3.5 weeks. Gonzalez's words in this amazing lecture, it emphasizes more and more the importance of the work of a man like Kelly. Oh, I know, the media did their best to do their worst. That's what they do. There's just absolutely no two ways about it. But I can't be concerned about that. Why would I? Screw the media. They're so wrapped in utter nonsense that I could care less. You think about so many of the other postings of Gonzalez's that I have done over the years. Videos. Other lengthy pieces. It's pretty damn profound. Extremely profound. The relationship I've developed with his wife has become quite interesting. No, no funny business stuff, okay? We don't do that kind of stuff. I don't have time for it. You just got to bear with me. I'm having to do something here very, very quickly. I have done some work in conjunction with Ms. Gonzalez and the Gonzalez Foundation, helping them develop a somewhat of an expanded self-test. I don't know enough about it. It's apparently an online thing. I don't know if it can only be taken one time. The self-test book of Kelly's that we... my mail is exploded every single day since I began to make the self-test Dr. Kelly's book available. Normally it goes for in the upper $40 range delivered during the course of the month of July. I'm making this book available for $35. Dr. Kelly's self-test for the different metabolic types. It is very intense. The Gonzalez Foundation took the best of Kelly and the best of Gonzalez, and they've melded it into something that you can pay a fee, you can get it online, et cetera, et cetera. But I think that's the one time. I think it's a one-time situation. That, to me, is bothersome. You understand that? That, to me, is bothersome because, as we have discussed throughout the course of this program, as your body begins to improve, there may be some modifications needed in your diet. And the book is very, very intense and exact about that. Keep in mind, the book itself is not just the test. It's taking 4 to 5 hours for the average person to conclude it, but that is not the entire issue. It's the written text that breaks it down so that you understand what each of your 12 different types and subtypes all are, so you can fine-tune it. And that's something that becomes very important. I want to take this last few minutes to share some things with you. You got to bear with me because I've got to get to this. Come on, baby, let's go. Get open. Normally when I come to the airwaves, and I'm going to be doing two or three different things, I've got each one of these files open, ready to go instantaneously. And I didn't get that ready tonight. I apologize for that. There's an interesting piece that I published on the 15th, so 5 days ago. It tells us so much about this eating, dietary. And this is something that I learned about a good number of years ago by my dear friend Granny. Alkaline versus acid. My friends, your life and death hangs in the balance. Because our battle for health is over pH. Now, these words from Thomas Edison, who said, "The doctor of the future will give little medicine, but will interest his patients in the care of the human frame and the diet and in the cause and prevention of disease." And in so many respects, that's exactly what Kelly did. That is exactly what Gonzalez did. And our author opens by saying, "The science of balancing the body's pH to maintain a high state of health dates to the late 1800s. A famous research scientist named Antoine Béchon, the most notorious pioneer of this biology. And after a century of suppression, doctors and researchers are finally beginning to give pH the attention it deserves." Of course, you go back to people like Kelly and so many others, and Gerson's, etc., they recognized that a long time ago. Now, in Béchon's research, he was able to show scientific proof that a proper acidic alkaline balance in the body correlates to a high state of health. And in direct opposition to another well-known scientist, Louis Pasteur, Béchon discovered that it was not germs alone that caused disease, but rather the inner condition of the patient which was regulated by pH. So Béchon concluded that just as a slight variation in body temperatures away from 98.6 degrees makes you sick, any slight variance in your body's delicate pH balance will also throw your whole system out of balance and negatively impact your health. And one of the leading indicators of poor health is when the body's pH goes from being slightly alkaline to acidic. As Dr. Robert O. Young says in his book, Sick and Tired, Reclaim Your Inner Terrain, Young says there's only one physiological disease, the over-acidification of the body, due primarily to an inverted way of eating and living. This over-acidification leads to one sickness or primary symptom, the overgrowth in the body of microorganisms whose poisons produce the symptoms we call diseases. And yet over the last 50 years, the percentage of Americans suffering with poor health and disease has never been greater. And a large part of this is linked to our turning away from an agrarian society where we live closer to the land and ate pure, wholesome foods fresh from the field that were highly nourishing. Instead, almost the entire food industry is now dominated and controlled by a handful of global corporations who care more about the bottom line and shelf life than they do about quality and nutrition. Genetically engineered farming dominates the world. I share this following quote because it's important. Who controls the food supply controls the people. Who controls the energy can control whole continents. Who controls money can control the world. The truly sad thing is the person who made that statement, Henry Kissinger. I think about characters like Bill Gates, who's out buying massive amounts of farmland. Massive amounts. To control the food that is quote, grown or manufactured and fed to us. What are you going to do, save the planet? Most of us are living in overcrowded concrete cities away from the farm. We're consuming an overabundance of fast food, GMOs, processed, packaged, refined, unnatural foods, and we're drinking sugar-laden, artificially contaminated beverages that are highly damaging and acidifying to the body. In addition to that, mineral deficiency is a silent epidemic. Heart disease, number one killer. Cancer, number two. Type 2 diabetes, pre-diabetes affect roughly 80 million Americans. And the medical system does not do one damn thing to educate patients about the shortage of minerals. They make no connection to pH. If you want to get off the merry-go-round of poor health, maintain a high state of health throughout your life, then it's time you tried a different approach. And regulating the body's pH is leading to a paradigm shift in medical science. And in a world burdened with sickness and disease, we can no longer afford to ignore the potential that this biology can have on our health. Regulating our body's pH, making lasting changes in our health, requires a complete overhaul of our diet, a thorough cleansing phase that focuses on removing unwanted acids and toxins. And to modify your pH levels, you need to incorporate some very simple protocols that can go a long way in assisting the body to get back to a state of homeostasis. Cleaning, detoxifying all your organs regularly. Complete alteration of dietary intake that stops contaminating cells and tissues. That's where much of Kelly's work with the self-test will come in. Oxygenating the cells through diet, nutritional intake, exercise, addressing mineral and nutritional deficiencies. Modulating the immune system with minerals, herbs, supplements. Balancing your hormones. And avoiding all the toxic landmines prevalent in food and beverages and cosmetics and drugs and vaccines. And yeah, I know this process may sound complex. It's really quite simple to understand and easy to incorporate into your daily life. Because there's three main causes of sickness and disease and premature aging. There's acidosis. There's dehydration, and there is free radical damage. And scientists have complicated the disease process by subcategorizing it into hundreds of different fields. Look, drinking water, extremely important. I'm drinking more water than I've probably ever drank in my life. Most city water throughout America, however, is laced with countless toxic chemicals, fluoride, chlorine, bromine, arsenic, lead pesticides, prescription drug residues, nuclear waste, hundreds of other chemicals. Hey, don't forget all that stuff we talked about yesterday. All those solar panels that are getting buried underground. You think that's not affecting our water? Because we've got to understand is our body is made up of roughly 80% water. It is the matrix that bathes every cell in our body with life and energy. And yet I will caution you to be extremely suspect of the bottled water industry because many tests still show chemicals. I got very ill because of some bottled water last year. Extremely ill to the point that my catheter looked like I was just doing nothing but bleeding into it. Oh, I bought those cases of water from Walmart. Out here in the summertime, they leave these cases of 40 bottles sitting out by the front door in the sunlight, baking to death. So now regarding distilled water, you need to be careful if you use it on a regular basis because it has no bioavailable minerals, no electrical resonance properties. If you drink distilled water regularly, you need to supplement your diet with a full spectrum array of high quality minerals to replace the electrolytes. In our author's opinion, distilled water is excellent to use for short periods of time because it's a powerful chelator that helps pull heavy metals and toxins out of your body. And yet over long periods of time, it has the potential to leach valuable minerals from your body, which can lead to problems down the road. But you definitely want to stay away from drinking tap water unless it's properly filtered. One of our categories on the Dr. Kelly site is called Water, Water Everywhere. The balance of it means that there's not enough to drink. You'll find some very interesting articles in there. I strongly urge you go through that category, including probably one of the very first articles we ever posted. I'll let you find it out. Next thing you do is take charge of your health by regulating your pH. Now look, the Bible tells us that the life of the flesh is in the blood. Leviticus 17:11. Without blood continuously pumping through our entire circulatory network every second of every day, we would be dead. Scientifically, we know that a constant battle to maintain balanced pH is taking place both within and out of our cells, our body fluids, our blood. And if we take care of our body and feed it the proper nutrition, its pH levels take care of themselves as automatically as the heart pumps blood. And by ingesting and drinking and exposing ourselves to an array of toxic acids that contaminate the blood, and by depleting the soil of alkaline minerals through conventional non-organic farming practices, we are disrupting our pH balance, destroying our health in the process. Knowing the important role pH plays in our blood, it's disturbing to see so many people abusing themselves by contaminating their bodies and blood with an overabundance of acidic compounds. Come on, look at some of the toxic acids you're putting in your bodies on a regular basis. They are health-destroying substances that are poisonous to our cellular health and over time will alter the body's critical pH levels. And if there's a sufficient alkaline potential in the body from a well-balanced diet and all the elimination routes are open, colon, liver, kidneys, lymphatic system, thyroid, the cell-damaging acids can be safely neutralized, excreted from our body before cellular damage takes place. If we consume high alkaline-forming organic fruits and vegetables and nuts, seeds, legumes grown on rich topsoil and avoid the acid landmines as much as humanly possible, then, my friends, we can properly alkalize the body. And so the time is ripe for a paradigm shift to intelligent self-care, learning the divine mechanisms behind God's magnificent self-healing system, a process called autogenic. We need a new level of understanding about our body's own inherent innate ability to heal itself. It's time for a real wake-up call to the true causes of all disease and the direct enemies of self-healing. For when the blood contains living nutrients, the body's cellular metabolism and pH is in proper balance, and the cells are properly nourished, hydrated, oxygenated, and susceptibility to illness is greatly lowered. Copy, Greg Sciola. Two quick things to close the program. Yes, take advantage of our offer for Dr. Kelly's books, and the one that's most important at this point in time is Dr. Kelly's self-test for the metabolic types. Let's get down to who you are, what you need to be eating to get yourself properly balanced. I have a single article category on drkelly.net called Granny's Pharmacy. Granny is an old friend, a contributing columnist to the family of websites of Kettle Moraine Publications. Is she a pharmacist, a pharmacologist? Absolutely not. She's now 82, has learned from a personal standpoint about the good and the bad of that which is manipulated by the likes of Big Pharma and those who they line the pockets of, our elected Congress official dumb, and those in the medical field who continue to buy into all of the nonsense of the sales pitch. I learned much from Granny over the years, in addition to the things that I've been being taught by others. If you scroll down in the right column of drkelly.net, you'll see this picture called Granny's Pharmacy. And you'll read a little bit of what I just shared with you, but you get down in here until you read the piece called Lessons from Granny. I strongly urge you do it. The interesting thing is she does not talk as much about the alkaline and the acidic as she normally does. For some reason, she didn't do it in this particular article. Brain was functioning a little bit differently that day. On top of all that, if you're interested in Kelly's book, hold your cursor over the words "the bookstore." Down below, you'll be able to choose Victory Over Cancer Without Surgery, Chemotherapy, or Radiation. Dr. Kelly's self-test for the different metabolic types. You can also choose the Kelly package. I am shipping books every day right now. Apparently, this four-part series has reached out to some people. They're beginning to think in a slightly different manner. Keep in mind the description of pharmaceutic or pharmaceutical. It is an adjective. To practice witchcraft or use medicine, to poison or medicine, pertains to the knowledge or art of pharmacy, or to the art of preparing medicines. I think last week we gave you a somewhat harsher description thereof. And we'll continue to do that. So does this four-part series bring an end to our discussion of cancer, or of Kelly, or of Gonzalez, or so many of these other marvelous people? Absolutely not. And for those of you who have chosen to stay with us for this 4 weeks and to bring other people in to listen, I thank all of you. Not because it benefits me. I pray God that it benefits those of you who have stayed. And I'm sure some of you just rolled your eyes. Because I'm not a doctor. No. Kelly thought well enough of me that he had me counseling many of the cancer victims from around the world. I'm still in touch with some. Many did not make it. But that's typical. It's what we're going to run into. Maybe the song to close with, which is Too Late, should have been George Michael. You got to have faith. Thanks for being with us. Lord willing, I'll be with you tomorrow night. As always, on Wednesdays, with glass lifted on high, I say, to health with you. Good night. Brings back the sound of music so tender. It brings back a night of tropical splendor. It brings back a memory evergreen. I'm with you once more under the stars. And down by the shore an orchestra's playing. And even the palms seem to be swaying when they begin. It again is past all endeavor, except when that tune clutches my heart. And there we are, swearing to love forever and promising never, never to part.
divine, what rapture serene, till clouds came along to disperse the joys we had tasted. And now when I hear people curse the chance that was wasted, I know but too well what they mean. So don't let them begin the beginning. Let the love that was once a fire remain an ember. Let it sleep like the dead desire I only remember. When they begin the beginning, we suddenly know what heaven we're in when they begin the beginning. When they begin the beginning.
The latest Consumer Price Index lie came out yesterday. I'm Peter Serafine with today's Liberty Minute. Yesterday's report on the Consumer Price Index shows prices up an average of 9.1%. That's the worst report since 1981, and it's actually worse. Forget the average reported by the government who causes the inflation in the first place. Look at the things that you actually buy. The three things everyone needs to live are groceries, gas, and utilities. Those three things together are up 37% over last year. Make no mistake, this is entirely the fault of our federal government. To paraphrase Milton Friedman, only government causes inflation because only government can print money. Using the trickle-down theory, it's actually our fault. We, the people, keep putting the same overspending establishment crooks in office. To help fight this inflation, I have lowered the price of t-shirts at liberty-lighthouse.com/store. Until tomorrow, Sivis Pashem, Parabellum.
RBN, John Stadtmiller's Republic Broadcasting Network, republicbroadcasting.org.